the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the official body involved, but the general preponderance of military opinion has been against assault service. Nonetheless, I do not agree. And so I have adhered to and worked for my own attitude. Now, what caused Ms. Holtzman the problem is that it is now clear that for reasons of her own, which I have no doubt to be honest and sincere, she has voted against practically every, I think it's fair to say every, authorization for military matters and against most all appropriations. Something congenital in her feels that way. She justifies it on the ground that she finds a great deal of waste in those bills. But my answer to that is that you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. At some point, you have to vote yea or nay. And that the defense of the country in the present situation in the world is so critical. And in view of our great responsibility, is so critical, but we can't simply turn your back on it and hope that the other members will vote a majority for it. Now, she may come up with some better explanation. I don't know. I never really done. But that's all we know today. So I'm neither in this forum approving or disapproving. I differ, and I act different, and that's all I'm arguing for. Those opportunities, I think, could be made available in the various establishments from which these people have been disemployed, because the layoffs, but we're not that intelligent as yet, and not that well organized. So until we are, I think we see them, as I say, as an optimum figure of a million jobs, which is about way the total of unemployed is a very essential element in this problem.
We'll handle this two more questions.
Also a staff member of a fellow senator, I can attest personally to the fact that Senator Javits has been and will remain in the vanguard of intelligent action in the Senate of the United States. The citizens of New York, in my travels around the state and around the country, they're citizens of New York all over this great land, have a tremendous asset in Senator Javits, a powerful and respected voice in the Senate of the United States. Seniority on the Foreign Relations, Human Resources, and Government Affairs Committees, coupled with his key mediator role, mediating between Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, have placed Senator Javits, at least in my mind, in a leverage position. New York, as I said before, should recognize his assets and keep Javits in the Senate. No one else can give New York what he can. Ladies and gentlemen, the senior senator from the Empire State of New York, Senator Jacob K. Javits.
You are, and I smile with pleasure because coming from my party, the Republican Party, young faces are all too few. And that's no joke. Now, compared to all of you, I'm a pretty old man, but my ideas, I assure you, are fresh and young. Because I believe that the American century has not been its impending. And I believe that it is possible for this country to lead the world into a new era of peace and undreamed of prosperity, and to avoid the horrible danger of nuclear war. Because all of man's demands at the moment are material. It's an interesting thing. Sure, you have the Sunni and Shiite Muslims who supposedly hate each other, and perhaps a few other such situations in the world. But essentially, the revolutionary currents which move this world are currents dealing with material wants. Somehow or other, by a strange process, of intellectual osmosis. The peoples of the world, for the first time in recorded history, have realized that it is not necessary to be ground down in poverty, or in illness, or in shabby housing, or indeed not to have the good things the earth can offer. Now, this is the touchstone for us. We are the producers, the developers, the creators of high material standards of living. Therefore, there's no reason in the world why this couldn't be our century. And also, for the first time again in recorded history, we really don't want anything. The United States doesn't want to run the world, or rule the world, or be the world's policeman, or have anybody at its feet. The United States is delighted if we all get along pretty well. Indeed, you're all young business people, or so many of you are. You know, the United States business has a unique quality. For centuries, business in Europe and in Asia and in Africa and in Latin America, on all the continents, was done on the theory that if A won, B lost. And here is a society in our country which is operated on the theory that both buyer and seller can make a profit. Indeed, that it's to their mutual interest that that should be the case. I tell you these things because my role, obviously, would be to be an honest trustee for the future. And really, that's what I've tried to be. Art is absolutely right when he said that I'm a bridge between conflicting views. And the reason that my colleagues have made such a big thing of getting me back, and they have, and that goes true not only for Republicans, but for Democrats, it's because I'm very useful to them. And it is possible in so many, many cases to find the formula which, for immediate empirical purposes, reconciles even the most disparate points of view. So really, I have responded to the continuance of my capacity, which I certainly have. Whatever little bugs are feeding on my stomach muscles are feeding straight to my brain. I've never been in better shape as far as thought and clarity of view is concerned. And I feel that with the assets that this state has given me of such seniority as no senator in our history has ever had, I have served longer in the United States Senate than any other senator in our history. Next after me comes the revered and distinguished Robert F. Wagner, Sr., who served 22 and a half years as compared with my 24. So these assets should be used for our people in a crisis time like this. And that's why I said I would run way back last February. That's why, while I was momentarily dismayed by my loss in the primary, I have not quit. And that's why I'm seeking to mount an effective campaign to win. Now, this is a very difficult equation. It's doable. This campaign can be won by me. And it's entirely possible to do. But it will take a broad people's commitment. And people don't do these things because they want to. They have to be roused to it. And I have to speak with a million voices in order to have them hear me. That's the way of life, and that's the way of politics. Now, all we have heard from is roughly 280,000 Republicans out of 2,300,000. And by the way, those 280,000 were not alone, they also had 210,000, even among them who went to the polls, who were for me. That represents an infinitesimal part of the electorate which will vote in November, which will be somewhere around 6.5 to 7 million. Very different situation. And people are used to splitting tickets in this state. On one occasion in 1950, not all that long ago, the people elected Dewey for governor, a Republican, Lehman for the Senate, a Democrat, and Impellitteri for mayor, a complete independent. So it can be done, but it will take an enormous amount of effort to do it, an unusual amount of effort. I am trying to raise the money, and I'm being enormously assisted by so many who are here, who are on the phone, and working indefatigably to bring the money in. And that will get us television. That's what we're seeking to buy. But this is a congested city. And the group that's here, if it dedicated itself to spreading the message and is willing to spend an afternoon or an evening in parts of the city many of you may never have seen, and where seeing you would be very refreshing, to distribute literature or to set up a little table on an important street corner and offer people advice and counsel on who I am and what I do. It would be very valuable, extremely valuable. Now, I have done things for practically every person in this state. And let me just recount just a few for you in the way in which it counts politically. Let's assume you have a gifted and talented child, of whom there are 2 million in the United States. For a long time, those kids were put in classes with other children, and many of them refused to learn because they didn't respect the learning process, which to them was too simple. I'm the author of the Gifted and Talented Education Program, which directly benefits those children and their faculty for the first time in public education, where there are classes expressly for the gifted and talented. Let's assume you have a handicapped child or a relative that's handicapped. Well, I am personally heavily responsible for looking after the special needs of the handicapped in respect of their transportation, the buildings they go into, etc. Now, there are difficulties in that. Mayor Koch has properly complained that it's very expensive. But you don't have to, you know, get the whole world every day. Once we get started on it and do some of the things which are needed, like the kneeling buses, etc., the rest will come along in due course. So if you're handicapped or have a handicapped person, I've done a lot for them. And now let's come to the aged. I'm the author of ERISA, which is a program for pensioners that produces security in their pension rights. There are 30 million pensioners who are workers under that system. And the assets of those pension plans come to over $300 billion. And because of me, unlike previous years, when the pension could fly out the window maybe 2 days before it was due because the company went bust or the man got fired or something, today, that can't be so. They're funded and they're guaranteed by a U.S. government insurance company, just like the Federal Deposit Insurance Company. And suppose you're very young. Suppose you're a youth. And you're one of those 38% unemployed because you're a minority youth. What have I done for you? Well, for one, I have developed with Hubert Humphrey of revered memory the program by which we have work study in high school, so that to keep you in school, you can actually get a job outside the school in order to give you the interest or a few dollars to stay in school. And that's being expanded all the time. Indeed, Carter has now embraced it in what's called a $900 million youth program. In addition, I have facilitated the work of job training agencies and agencies of various intermediary kinds, which teach kids how to hold a job, how to get one and hold it. Now, it is true that this program is not as pervasive as it should be, but certainly it's started and it's working and it's got some hundreds of thousands of kids who are in it. In addition, I have been instrumental in allowing an employer who employs a youth of this character to deduct half his wages of the first 6 months from taxation. And I'm now working in terms of futures to get a waiver of Social Security taxes for that type of youth for the first 6 months of employment, if an employer will give them a job. Now, I've given you only some of the vast range of matters. Listen, in 24 years, working myself to the bone, I assure you I haven't been wasting my time. Ask Marion Javits. You've got a great case, and now we really have to depend upon young people like yourself who've got the moxie and the conviction to go out and let people know about it, because our time is very short. So there are many jobs to be done. We've got a headquarters at 1140 Avenue of the Americas, and we brought you together this evening, one, to have a good time this evening. That still leaves 20-odd more evenings in which we hope you'll do a little work. And the only way you can really thank me for being me is to do what I suggest to you can and should be done. And so I'm extremely grateful to Art Dubois and to our absent member of this partnership, John Crossan, who had to leave for abroad this very day, who joined with Art in putting this committee together. I'm very grateful to the members of the committee, and many of whom have been introduced to me here this evening. And I want to be extremely grateful to you. And I believe that if you make it possible for me to be extremely grateful to you, you'll be preserving an asset for this state for as long as it can be preserved, which will be of inestimable benefit both to you and your quality of life, to the state, and, because I'm a pretty national senator, to the nation. And finally, it's interesting that what I've suffered from the most is some idea that I'm engaged in the astral regions of foreign policy to the exclusion of the domestic policy of the country. We are now engaged in sending out a press release to every county in the state, which lists what I have done for that county specifically, in order to demonstrate that I don't wander in this astral region. But even if I did, a New Yorker, I do not believe, has ever been ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee. And I am the ranking member of that committee. And I'm the author of the War Powers Resolution, passed over Nixon's veto in 73, which for the first time in 200 years restrains a president from putting us into war. And there have been 100 such instances, merely by deploying United States forces, which has the power to do, into an area where there are hostilities or imminent danger of hostilities. Now he has to get the Congress to go along. And I am an apostle, not only of peace, but of a way to keep peace and to spread the responsibility for war where it should be, to wit, not only with the president, but with the Congress. So I assure you, I haven't wasted my time there either. In short, I've delivered. And now you have a chance to deliver. And we've got our people here. There are at least 15 people here from my office, many of whom have volunteered for this month, given up their holidays, to work in this campaign. And I invite those of you who take my message seriously to ask them what to do, and they'll put you on the right track. Have a wonderful time, and thanks a lot for coming. Unless bold and decisive action is taken soon, the 1980s could become the decade of chronic recession. The program I've outlined in my economic white paper advocates prudent investment in our nation's strengths, our neighborhoods, our factories, our cities, our jobs, our youth, our most precious resources. The guiding premise of my program is that the country is young and vigorous and can be successful. I'm calling for a 10% across the board personal income tax cut for 1981 to compensate for higher inflation and higher Social Security taxes, and for doubling the income tax exclusion of savings interest, and for tax incentives targeted to encourage the modernization of plants and equipment. Such initiatives would curb the inflationary spiral and spur growth, productivity, and investment.
Senator Jacob Javits said today in a debate at Newsday Newspapers that bickering between his two opponents for his Senate seat sounded like a race for Hempstead Town Supervisor. He said of the three candidates that he had the kind of mind to handle world problems. He said Ms. Holtzman had hang-ups regarding weaponry and nuclear energy, and Mr. D'Amato has a very narrow right-wing view. The cut is a minute six and begins on my count. Three, two, one.
One would think that we were contending for the office of supervisor of Hempstead. To listen to this debate. You've got problems of the survival of your families. You've got problems of whether or not you're going to be bankrupt tomorrow. You've got problems which affect the very essence of our lives. Now, what do you want in a senator? Do you want a senator who has a mind big enough to encompass this world, which is what we need? Or do you want a senator who's going to bicker about these things that you've just heard? The prosecutors will take care of D'Amato if he's wrong, and he has to account for himself. The real issues of this campaign are what's going to be done about health and housing and security and transit and everything else which bedevils this country. And there I've delivered. You don't have to guess about it. Ms. Holtzman has hang-ups, whether it's about weaponry or about the use of the atom if we have to for power. And Mr. D'Amato has a very narrow right-wing view. He even supports Saturday night specials, those little handguns, in a state which is ridden with crime.